In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Everyone loves a good second chance story. It offers an individual a fresh start and an opportunity to change the way they think and the way they act. For those who have been caught up in crime and debauchery, it gives them a chance to get back on the straight and narrow. For those who may have struggled or struggle with some sort of addiction, it offers the space to begin the road to recovery. For those who have withstood a debilitating injury or illness, it's an opportunity to strengthen one's mind and one's body. For those who have been hurt by family or friends, it's an occasion to create new, long-lasting relationships with other people. Some of the greatest second chance stories deal with those who have moved from death back to life, a resurrection from the dead. One of the most well-known stories in our area here in St. Charles County, which has been made into both a book and a movie, is about a young teenage boy named John Smith who was pronounced dead after being submerged for 15 minutes in the icy waters of Lake St. Louis back in 2015. Miraculously, John was resuscitated and made a full recovery, even when everyone else thought he wouldn't. The book and the movie, called Breakthrough, traces the changes that happened in the lives of Smith and his family after he was given a second chance at life. The miraculous resurrection stories of the New Testament leave us wondering what transformation happened to those who were formerly dead, but were raised back to life by Jesus. People like the son of the widow at Nain, or Jairus' daughter, or Jesus' friend Lazarus. You can only imagine how the community around them changed after witnessing these extraordinary events. Second chances lead to change. Second chances are an opportunity for personal development. But not so for Jesus. When he was raised from the dead, just 1 week ago, Jesus showed that he is in no need of change, that he is in no need of a second chance. He proves this by appearing to the very same people that questioned him and chastised him and abandoned him at the cross. Like St. Thomas, we struggle with this unbelievable reality that Jesus would return to those very same people after what it seems like he has a second chance. Because that's just not something that a normal person would do. For us, love and loyalty would not have been our first response to being betrayed and crucified. Instead, we might have sought vengeance and revenge, and then would have moved on to a better group of friends. But Jesus has proved that he hasn't changed, and that he doesn't need to change, and that he wants to continue to bless us and love us and stick by us on our journey through life. So it's no wonder that St. Thomas needs tactile proof of the Lord's resurrection. You can imagine that he might have been thinking to himself, Jesus is resurrected and wants to see us? I don't know about you, but I can sympathize with St. Thomas. He's gotten a really bad rap over the past several centuries for being a doubter. But can you blame him? My now sainted grandfather would always say to his children and his grandchildren, believe half of what you see and nothing of what you hear. I'm a St. Thomas sympathizer. I get it. I get why he needed tactile proof of the Lord's resurrection. But there's a problem with this rationale and St. Thomas's rationale. And my friends, that problem is us. You see, when we are given second chances in our lives, we feel as if it is up to us to make the most of it. It's up to us to pull ourselves back up by our bootstraps and charter a new course. And when we hear about others getting second chances, especially the thieves and the liars and the addicts and those who have hurt us, we feel as if it is up to us to verify if those people are actually making the most of their second chance. We like to put the pieces together ourselves to make concrete judgments about these things. We have to feel and we have to see and we have to touch to know that it is true. Well, Jesus tells us in our gospel for today that the blessed ones are those who believe without seeing. But that doesn't mean that people like Thomas aren't blessed. People who need tactile proof. We know this because St. Thomas himself is blessed in his apostleship and in his mission work and eventually in his martyrdom. What's most beautiful about the gospel for today is how Jesus deals with and cares for people like Thomas and you and me, who yearn to put the pieces together ourselves, but continually fail to get the whole picture. The most beautiful thing about the gospel for today is that Jesus loves Thomas in the way that Thomas wants and needs to be loved. He invites him to touch and to see that Jesus is really risen. He calls him to see the nail marks in his hands and to touch those nail marks and to, as the Greek puts it, and it's really great, it's not just put your hand, but it's throw your hand, cast it with force deep into the place where the soldier pierced him in the side. And he invites us to do the same as we now today touch the things that came from his side, the Jesus things, the blood and the water, that blood of the Holy Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, and the water of holy baptism, all for our forgiveness and all for the sake of us confessing, as Thomas did, my Lord and my God. One day we'll see the resurrected Lord again face to face. We'll be able to see his eyes and his ears, his mouth and his nose, how long his hair is, how tall he is. It's that same Lord that was born of the Virgin Mary, walked the face of the earth, healed the sick and the dying, raised the dead, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and died, buried and raised. One day we'll be able to see that same Jesus face to face, eyes, ears, mouth, nose, his height, his hair length. But until then, Jesus gives his church pastors. Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit unto the apostles. Whichever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whichever sins you bind, they are bound. And he gives his pastors the church. And these two gather together. And they touch the things of Jesus. His body and blood, his life, his forgiveness, and his promises. Although we cannot see Jesus face to face now, we're all now called to faith that Jesus is still in the Jesus things that he gives us. Praise God that Jesus makes this pretty simple for us by not needing a second chance for himself. He has always been and he continues to be gentle and loving and kind to us, even when we weren't and even when we aren't to him. Jesus remains consistent. Jesus only needs one chance. And he still chooses us to be his friends. By these Jesus things, we're all killed, but we're all resurrected. One could say we're given something that's better than a second chance. We're given an eternal promise, or as St. Peter writes in the epistle for today, we're given an inheritance of everlasting life with Jesus in the new creation. And so now we can't help but to sing his praises and continue to confess that he is our Lord, that he is our God. One day, hopefully very, very soon, we'll be able to come back to this place, to this church. The empty pews will be filled again, and we'll touch his body and his blood in with and under the bread and the wine. But until then, let us continue to slap water on our heads to remember our baptism and to remain steadfast in our prayers to him and to center ourselves in his word, which brings life. The faith in the word brings life and life to the full. Dearest Jesus, you are our Lord and our God. And we thank you for that. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.